home or on the road, game day is a journey. Whether through Mile High or deep into the black hole, it always culminates here. This is Chiefs Rewind.
Well, this edition of Chiefs Rewind, we're hoping there were better circumstances. The Chiefs lose 18-16 in this divisional playoff round to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Mitch Holtis with you along with B.J. Kissel. And I guess you put this game in a capsule. It was the issues during the regular season, third down, drops, that came back to bite the team, not able to handle the running game.
Yeah, we'd seen throughout the season that the defense had stepped up, the special teams had stepped up and found ways to get in the end zone. Didn't happen tonight. But you did see the defense step up in ways. And that's not going to get talked about a lot. It's going to be a lot about the offense. The fact that the Pittsburgh Steelers set an NFL records kicking six field goals in a postseason game and were able to pull it off without a touchdown. But the defense did. The Steelers went 0-for-4 inside the red zone, which is huge, which is the only reason that this game was close. But we talked about it during the week. It was a race to 21 points. The Chiefs were 12-0 this season when scoring at least 19. The Steelers were 0-3 when giving up 21-plus on the road. The magic number was 21. The Chiefs' offense just couldn't get there.
Yeah, this game was very similar to the two regular season losses to Tampa Bay and Tennessee at home, 19-17, 19-17, 18-16. And yet the Chiefs still had a chance to win the game. We can sit here and break this down for the next 3 days, but they thought they had the tying two-point conversion. Yep. Again, like the regular season, they found ways to get down the field and get to the end zone, and then that critical sequence of events.
Yeah, and Coach Reed talked about it in his post-game presser. He talked about the holding call that was called on Eric Fisher, saying going on a shorter player. We know how good James Harrison is. Said that that's a play that can go either way. And the bottom line is it was called, and they tried to get it from the 12-yard line. They weren't able to make that play. And even at the end, they still had the 3rd-and-4. If they could hold them, the offense was still going to get the ball back with a chance. And something could get lost in this, and you look at they get the ball back. Could they have gone down and got a field goal? And the fact is, Alex Smith, he had some drops by some of his targets that would have kind of jumped his numbers up a little bit. But Alex Smith didn't play bad in this game. So there's a lot to be made on the offense. You can talk about the offensive line. It's going to be talked about all throughout the offseason. But as you said, Mitch, this was the game that you put yourself in a position to win this game. They had opportunities. They were close. They just didn't capitalize on those two or three plays that make a difference in every football game.
Yeah, we talk about hidden yards, too, in a game. Those drops, there were some big plays left on the field with those drops. The Kelce drop, and it's a tough play. It's down on his right thigh pad. That would get the ball down to the 10. Spencer Ware had one early in the game. He might still be running. Macklin had another one that he wishes he had back, but and you start to add up the yards on those drops, at least 7 points maybe.
There was, and there were some key plays that were made as well that put him in a position to where we're having this conversation. And the 3rd-and-20, the Jeremy Macklin catch that set up the Cairo Santos field goal, that was a huge play in this game. Chris Conley's catch on 4th down across the middle was a huge play in this game, helped set up that touchdown. So there were still 2 or 3 plays short. There were still some plays that they did make that shouldn't get overlooked to be in that position. But the bottom line is they went up against a good football team that made more plays today than they did.
Pittsburgh wins this game with 6 field goals and no touchdowns, 18-16. For more analysis, let's go to our studio and check in with Chiefs reporter Pete Sweeney and former Chief Danon Hughes.
Thank you, Mitch, and welcome into the 65 Toss Power Trap Studios. After the Steelers ended the Chiefs season at Arrowhead Stadium, we're going to go through this game, see exactly how it happened. Pittsburgh would start with the ball, and they would move the ball both through the air and on the ground. Jesse James, a second-year tight end out of Penn State, would be in the mix early. And then, Danon, they would go to Le'Veon Bell, 167 yards last week. So talented for the Steelers team.
Yeah, so patient. No other running back like him in the league. Very tough to game plan and to defend.
But the Chiefs are able to hold Ron Parker with a massive hit. Will force the field goal here early.
Absolutely. The defense did step up, bend but didn't break all throughout the game, especially in the first half. And Pete, you see here a squib kick, surprise squib kick, held and brought back by Demetrius Harris in great fashion. Great field position for the Chiefs.
Yeah, nice job by Demetrius Harris. The Chiefs end up starting at the 45-yard line. You see Travis Kelce there up the field, and they pass to Jeremy Macklin. It brings the Chiefs right within distance, and then it's a little play-action pass to Albert Wilson. All of a sudden, you're feeling good. 7-3 Chiefs.
Yes, Chiefs did a fine job in this drive. You saw a host of Pittsburgh Steelers going after Tyreek Hill, falling for the fake. Great throw and catch to Albert Wilson.
this week. Andy Reid called Le'Veon Bell the most patient running back he's ever seen. And we saw that in this game.
Yes, I spoke to one of the former Chief greats, James Hasty, during the week. And we both laughed about the fact that Le'Veon Bell, his style, you would get cut for back in the 90s, to tiptoe through the hole, but he's so effective. Great job dislodging the ball here by Marcus Peters.
Yeah, the Steelers had taken gotten two field goals, so now all of a sudden it's 7-6.
And big
the Chiefs defense is able to step up once again, but it would lead to a 36-yard field goal. This is the third field goal of the game for Boswell, and that would put the Steelers up 9-7. Alex Smith, of course, would get the ball back. And then Ryan Shazier, for the second week in a row, would come up big for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, this is just a great rush and well-timed on the outside, taking advantage of Ja Reed, who hadn't been in the game, had just checked in as an eligible receiver, did not get enough on the outside, and just an errant ball thrown in the air and a turnover for the Steelers.
Steelers are about to score, and this is where I felt maybe the game could have changed. Momentum swinging play potentially by Eric Berry, but the Chiefs are just not able to get any points on that drive, and that'd be key later on in this game.
Absolutely. You have to capitalize on turnovers. They were not able to do so, and then you put the Steelers back on the field in a very dangerous Le'Veon Bell. And you can start to see at times on this drive, especially in the first half, it seemed like the defense was wearing down. They were on the field for an extreme amount of time throughout the first half. And when you have that kind of patience, those big bodies, moving bodies up front, and here's a big hit, though. Just when you thought the Chiefs were getting down and getting down on themselves, here comes Ramiq Wilson with a fine tackle to stop Le'Veon Bell for the loss.
This would truly be a recurring theme in the game. The Steelers would drive into the red zone, the Chiefs would come up big, and then they would get a field goal. And the same thing happened here at the end of the first half. The Chiefs get the stop here, but Boswell comes on. This is a 45-yarder, and it's good. And the Steelers would take a 12-7 lead into the half. And you look at this game in the first half, you don't feel great after the first half, but you have the halftime locker room to make some adjustments.
Absolutely, and this team has been fine all season making halftime adjustments. And even though you didn't feel great about what went on in the first half, you still had a sigh of relief because they were only down by 5 points. You turned the ball over, not really getting drives established throughout the first half. And remember, the Steelers had the ball for 20 minutes and 15 seconds in the first half, 246 total yards on offense. Both of their killer bees, Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, 101 yards rushing and receiving. So they were clicking on all cylinders. But again, like we talked about, the Chiefs defense stood strong when it was necessary to keep them out of the end zone.
A troubling first half for the Chiefs, but that's why you have the second half. The Chiefs would receive the ball to begin the second half, but they would go three and out. And I talked about that theme a little bit earlier. It would continue into the second half.
Yes, it did. And this is a big play right here. You cannot allow Le'Veon Bell to get this kind of steam going downfield, breaking tackles. But again, Chris Jones, how about the day for that young man? A couple of deflected passes.
Right.
Standing his ground, and Ramiq Wilson saw flashes of brilliance from the young linebacking core in this game. And guess what? Go figure. Another field goal for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
15-7 in the third quarter. And the Chiefs would back the Steelers up pretty deep here. But Le'Veon Bell up the field for 9 yards. But here they come up, a big stop right here for the Chiefs. And this, at the end of the third quarter, near the end of the third quarter, would be the first stop of the game for the Chiefs.
Well, this is great right here. You can see bodies getting pushed back, stalemate, and Frank Zombo coming in with the clutch tackle for a loss.
So the Chiefs facing 3rd and 20 after a personal foul to Travis Kelce. Jeremy Maclin comes up big, first down.
Well, the big receiver, big-time receiver, comes up with a big play, one of the biggest plays of the day. Very impressed with Chris Conley and his play also in this game. A drop pass by Albert Wilson. Had 4 drops on the day amongst our receiving core, including Spencer Ware.
Kyra,
we get it on the field goal party with another field goal there by Cairo Santos.
48-yarder by Cairo Santos makes it 15-10 Steelers. And it's getting late in this game. The Chiefs need to get something going. Hits Travis Kelce up the field for 24 yards. And then hands it off to Spencer Ware, who brings it up for 11 yards. So you can kind of start to feel this Chiefs offense kind of getting something going here.
Yeah, I think the offense fed off the fact that the defense was doing their job.
Fourth down.
Holding Pittsburgh to those field goals. And here's another key fourth down conversion to keep the drive alive.
Here we go. Fourth down. Chris Conley would go across the middle right here. A diving catch, really a season-saving catch right there.
Oh, definitely. A crucial time in this game. A much-needed first down. The Chiefs were only 2 of 9 on third downs in the game, but 2 of 2 on fourth down conversion.
All of a sudden, they get the touchdown. So it's 18-16, but game's getting late, so you need to go for the two-point conversion. Smith finds Demetrius Harris for what you think is a two-point conversion, but there's a holding call on Eric Fisher.
Very, very questionable holding call. You can understand the frustration. I did not think that James Harrison was anywhere near the play. He slipped, and with the penalty, we could not connect with Jeremy Maclin in the back of the end zone. Good protection right there. Tries to thread the needle and just couldn't make the catch.
From there, the Steelers would run the clock out, 18-16 final. There you see Le'Veon Bell with 30 carries for 170 yards, Antonio Brown 6 receptions for 108 yards. And Dan, and I think in this game, a lot of people are going to, you know, maybe point to that holding call. But it was a bigger problem with the offense all day long.
Oh, it was. You know what? They just did not get things going in a consistent fashion. Let's face it. This offense, outside of Tyreek Hill, this offense hasn't been a big play type of offense consistently through the season. They are about moving the chains, making smart decisions, and keeping defenses on their heels a little bit. That first half went by so quickly for the offense. You kind of felt bad for the defense on the field for so long. But give credit to the defense. They made adjustments in the second half. Antonio Brown, only 1 catch for 7 yards in the second half. And Le'Veon Bell, he got his at 69 yards in the second half. They turned the tables just a bit. It seemed like the Chiefs got their foot on the gas pedal just to no avail.
Yep, Chiefs season ends in disappointing fashion. We'll hear from Andy Reid after the break.
They go to that inverted wishbone again. Hill's in the backfield. Play action fake, rolling left. Now he throws for the near side. Caught, touchdown! Kansas City! And Albert Wilson with the touchdown reception, sneaking out of the backfield.
Welcome back to Arrowhead Stadium, where the Chiefs fall to the Pittsburgh Steelers 18-16 in the divisional round of the playoffs. Now, there's a lot of things to be proud of with this 2016 Chiefs team and during this 2016 season. But head coach Andy Reid and his Chiefs aren't exactly happy about the way that their season ended.
Andy, it's no fun. I know what you're going through right now, but what did you have to say to your team after?
Yeah, well, I thought they played their hearts out. But, again, a few too many mistakes. I've got to make sure that we do better than that. This is that kind of team right here, man. They're gritty. They'll fight you to the end. They got us today, you know. But we'll be better for it down the road. We came out with no injuries. That was a good thing.
But, I've been through it myself,
yeah, I know,
too.
I know. Yes. I know. That's the finalization of this thing. So we appreciate the fans and the support they gave us, man, all year. They were phenomenal, and they were here today. I mean, right down to the end, and they said some nice things. We're coming off the field, man. I know they're heartbroken, and yeah. we're gonna get this thing right. So we take another step here. Or
tomorrow's
two.
Another day, my friend.
Yeah, right.
And,
yeah. We'll get together.
And you will do well. Yeah. You're very, very capable of that. Yeah. So I hate to see it, what happens. Yeah. But it does happen. So don't let it happen next year.
That's right. That's right. I got you. I appreciate you.
Tough day for Andy Reid, and you got to evaluate this team. How would you evaluate the day of Alex Smith?
I thought Alex did a fine job. There was a lot put on his shoulders in this game. You consider the first half was a blur for this offense. They really couldn't get things going quickly. He had 4 drops from his receivers. He was still able to be mobile in the pocket. complete passes, necessary passes downfield to extend drives like we saw there. So I thought he did a fine job overall, but too much weight put on his shoulders in this game. This team has been designed to be able to be effective in the run game, to be able to capitalize on defense and get turnovers, and the special teams contribution, which we sorely missed today. So Alex stepped up his play. I thought he had a winning performance given what he went through today, and just a fine job all around.
Alex Smith was actually our DraftKings Fantasy Player of the Game. Remember, if you want to play DraftKings, head to DraftKings.com. Use the promo code Chiefs to play for free today. When we come back, Mitch Holthus will be with Ron Parker. So don't go anywhere.
Quick throw to it. Now the pass is tipped. It is intercepted. It is intercepted in the end zone. Chiefs have an interception in the end zone. Big Ben throws a pick. Eric Berry off the deflection.
One of the most underrated players in the entire National Football League. He's the all-time Chiefs defensive back, record holder for sacks, Ron Parker. But Ron, tonight, you and I talked about it during the week, trying to control the run game. They kind of dictated the game in the run game.
Oh, yeah. They did a good job on, like, first and second downs with the, picking up good yardage on the runs, putting itself in, like, third and short situations. So I just think as a defense, we got to try to do a better job of keeping them out of that situation. And we put ourselves in better position. But overall, I think as a defense, we played all right. We just got to play all together as a team, man, and just put this thing together and see if we can come out with the dub.
As a safety, what makes him so hard to defend against the run?
It's tough because you want to go up there and you want to go attack the run, but at the same time, you have to eliminate all the deep balls from over the top, so you have to kind of watch the whole defense. So as a safety, man, it's tough when teams just pounding it. As a safety, you want to get aggressive and run down there and make the tackle, but as soon as you go to do that, they might play action and hit you deep, so you have to just play everything honest.
But, Park, you hold them without a touchdown. I mean, 6 field goals. Again, when you guys needed to stiffen up, you did. What about holding them out of the end zone?
Man, all year we've been playing a great red zone D, man. We've been doing a good job of just holding teams to 3 points when they get down there, even if they don't turn the ball over. And I think with 6 field goals, man, that speaks volume about the defense just coming out and just competing tonight, man.
This is a unique group. This 2016 team, my favorite team, I think, of all time, of all my years here. But what about, can you take, even though this loss hurts, what do you take into 2017 offseason?
I mean, we take that when we get in this situation, when we get in this position again, we have to be sharp and we have to eliminate the mistakes. Mistakes can beat you in the game, and this is a game of inches. So we just have to clean up our mistakes and just play better overall football.
5 tackles for a veteran leader in Ron Parker, and really a leader of this defense who did a good job today. I mean, but if there was one struggle, and this is a player that a lot of teams struggle with, it's running back Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, Le'Veon Bell is a special, special talent, Pete. When you consider he's the only one of his kind. This league, the game of football is always about preparation, film study, game planning, and being able to see multiple people that do certain things throughout the year, especially when you get into the playoffs. You should be able to be accustomed and prepared to go against someone or go against a particular offense. And because of his special talents, it makes it extremely difficult for the Chiefs or any team to game plan. And he showed his patience, 170 yards rushing, was very effective, continued to move the chains, and had a couple of big runs as well.
One of the most unique running styles in this league. But if you want to just talk about the Chiefs defense, I know we talked about the veteran leadership of Ron Parker. A guy they were missing, and he saw he was a drum honoree today, was Derek Johnson. Yeah. Young player Ermeek Wilson stepped up in a big spot today.
I thought so. I thought the young man came to play. Now, there were some times that his youth showed, but he still was able to make plays in the running game, in the open field. Outstanding day, 15 tackles, 8 of them solo. So he was a force, but these are learning opportunities for the young linebacking core, opportunities where he can learn from. Obviously, they're going to feel sad. Hopefully, they can have a 24-hour rule and then get focused on what 2017 will bring. But I think if you are grading this defense and you are starting with that linebacker core, you're going to give some positive grades to Ramique Wilson because of what he brought to the table and considering where he was in the beginning of the season and at the end of the season. He's grown tremendously.
And to your point, if you're seeking for a silver lining, the only way you get playoff experience is by getting playoff experience,
yes.
And now these younger players have gotten some of that. When we come back, Danny Welniak will take you inside the Chiefs locker room. Stay with us.
The journey ends here for the Kansas City Chiefs as they fall in the divisional round of the playoffs here at Arrowhead Stadium, 18-16 to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now is a time for reflection, and the message here inside the locker room was this team needs to look in the mirror and think about this game. They have a lot to work on as they move into the offseason.
Sometimes things just don't go your way. You know, you got to pay attention to the little details, especially in the playoffs. Those are things that, I mean, everybody's playing at a high level, so you got to kind of take that in consideration. So,
is there any good feeling at all about holding this potent offense to field goals and not keeping them out of the end zone?
I mean, the main objective was to win, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, whether it's a field goal or not, we wanted to win the game. So I feel like we could have made some more plays on defense and got some things done. And, but every time, the cookie doesn't always crumble your way. So,
Eric, the challenges of Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown, could you speak on how you guys did with those guys and what it was like to face them at this with the stakes?
Great competition, man. That's what you play the game for, to play against the best. And I feel like those guys are two of the best. And you know they're going to bring it every snap. And they bring the best out of you, so that's what you want.
You know, one of those, it's tough to look at the little mistakes that put us in that position in the end of the game. You could say, how do you call that call? But we didn't have to be in that position. So it's technique. We get to really, Eric Berry said, really evaluate yourself, And so we get to do that for freaking 6 months. And that's going to nag at us and fuel our fire, because we're a better football team than that offensively, especially, and roll from here. It's still a tight locker room. Everyone, there's no pointing fingers, but when you fell up short individually, and that's tough.
I just feel like everything happened for a reason. Obviously, it's like one time. We got to prepare better. I felt like we left a lot of plays out there on the field that we know and we should have made, and we didn't. It's the playoffs. Every play count.
High-powered offense. You held them to field goals.
I think we played great. But like I said, it was a lot of plays we left out there. It was the plays we should have made. We knew we had them, and we didn't make as a whole. Offense, defense, special teams. Can't do it.
First of all, just kind of general thoughts about the way that the season ended.
To be honest with you, I still haven't accepted it. Even though everything did happen, this just can't be the end. We worked too hard, you know what I'm saying? So I really don't know what to say about that.
Well, what was the message from Coach after this game for all of you guys?
Attention to details. It's all about little things. We're a great team, phenomenal team, but it's all about who can make the least amount of errors. And that's what they beat us at.
As a veteran, what do you tell the younger guys, and how do you guys build off of this?
Go into the off season, try to get your body, get away from football a little bit and, kind of relax, and then start it back up and make sure we're ready to go when we report again.
It's a frustrated, it's a disappointed locker room, but really one, you kind of get the feeling of shell-shocked. Didn't expect to lose today. I mean, Danan, you're a guy that was on a couple teams that were like this team, expected to go to distance, and kind of came up short. What are you feeling in this moment?
Well, it's unbelief. It's disbelief, I should say. The fact that I've been down this road, 94 playoffs, we went to the AFC Championship, 95, 97, 13-3 teams, top seeds with byes, and we didn't get it done. So, I've been down this road, Pete, and it's tough to digest. I remember sitting in my car in Arrowhead parking lot for 20, 30 minutes, just looking at the steering wheel in disbelief about what happened and how our dreams were shattered. So I'm sure there's a lot of different emotions that are going on in that locker room, and it's going to be very, very tough to push this aside. But then as professionals, you hope that these young men will use it as gasoline
for 2017 in the regular season.
Again, you heard it from Mitch Morse. They now have 6 months of offseason to deal with. It's going to be tough. But when we come back, you'll get to hear from one of these good young players the Chiefs have, Dee Ford.
Handoff Ware, trying the right side, plows into the end zone! Touchdown, Kansas City! In just the two-minute warning, the Chiefs will have to go for two. Steelers 18, Chiefs 16. The Pittsburgh Steelers are advancing to the AFC Championship game.
Just Bell controlling the line of scrimmage and the frustration of trying to win those battles up there.
It's a tough night, man. It's a tough night. I still think we played hard. We just didn't make enough plays. You know, it's tough.
Let's say about the defense that the Steelers got inside the red zone 4 different times. You held them out each time, held them to 6 field goals. Just thoughts on the defense's performance overall?
We made plays. It just wasn't enough, unfortunately. I know we kept them out of the end zone, but we want to keep them out of the red zone also. So, you know, they made plays. They were able to get points, and unfortunately that was enough for them but not enough for us.
You got a big sack in this game. Roethlisberger's hard to sack, but you got to him. You and Jarvis got to him. What about just trying to put pressure on him and what you did remainder of the season where you got pressure without getting sacks? I think people realized your value there.
They were not going to let us affect the quarterback in this game, and that was one of the weapons that they had that can establish the run, you know. And when the game was like it was, very low scoring, at that point, each team could control the clock. There were long drives on each side of the ball. So it's hard to, you know, they was not going to let us get in the rhythm rushing the quarterback. Everything was quick, play action and draw plays, screen plays, you know. And they wanted to really take us out of the game. They knew what our strong suit was. And like I said, we did a good job, but it wasn't good enough at this time of the year.
I know it's hard at this point because obviously I haven't had time to digest all of it, what you guys were able to accomplish this season. Went 12-4, won the division for the first time since 2010. In the locker room after the game, just what was Coach Reed's message to you guys?
He told us we were a great team. We shot ourselves in the foot, but he just wanted to remind us we were a great team. It was very positive. I was really shocked. Got to admire the coach he is. And just his energy, you know, we all disappointed. And, you know, we left a lot on the field. And I can't even say you can learn from mistakes, but you have to at the end of the day. And his message was to us, we were a great team. Great team. It's been a great season, you know. Have to get over this hump, man.
Dee Ford coming off his best season as a pro. We talked about Ford. We talked a little bit about Ramique Wilson before. I want to talk about another young player, a rookie for this Chiefs team who really showed some promise, Chris Jones, moving on to next year.
Well, Chris Jones did a phenomenal job with his opportunities. We didn't know what we were going to get from Chris Jones. Second round pick, obviously a lot of buzz around the draft by the Chiefs, trading out of their slot in the first round and picking him up. But very athletic and has an innate ability to deflect passes. We've seen it all throughout this season. He became one of the fire starters of this defense, and he showed it this evening. And I was very impressed by the young man and the strides he made to become a complete football player and not just one of those package guys.
He had his stature as big as his personality,
yes.
Really. Where does he go moving forward, do you think?
Well, I think the sky's the limit for him because we've seen his athleticism. We've seen his football technique and his knowledge on the field. To me, to be able to come into the NFL, the biggest jump is about the speed. And he's shown that he can adjust to the speed of the game and also be able to show that he can deflect passes and be a force in the run game and in the passing game. So to me, it's just going to be a growing process. This young man got a bad taste in his mouth by this playoff loss, and we're going to see what he's really made of and how he can use this to kind of catapult him throughout the rest of his career.
Chiefs fans should look forward to watching Jones for years to come. When we come back, Mitch and BJ will wrap up the season from the stadium. Stay with us.
listen, compliments to the Steelers. They were the better team today. We had too many errors that we made. It's my responsibility to make sure those are right, and we didn't do it. I'm still, you got to see what our football team's all about, the grit, and we came up short. So, but they laid it all out there. We can learn from this. That's hard to hear right now, but we can learn from it and be better for it next year. So that's the suddenness of this, of the playoffs. It's ended, and we move on. So we appreciate the fans and all the support that they gave us this season. Without you, we wouldn't have gotten this far. So, and you were out there today. You stayed right to the end, and we appreciate every bit of that. And we kept him. We kept him out of the end zone, which was a positive. We stalled there offensively for a bit. We weren't getting much going in the second half. In the first half, things balanced out offensively and defensively, where offense was more productive, defense was getting stops, and so the time of possession kind of balanced out there a little bit. But again, early, we got to do a better job early. Now, listen, you can always do better. That's how I'm coming out of this. I'll go back and I'll analyze it all, and I always start with myself. And so we've all got a piece of this, and it starts with me. I'm the head football coach here. So.
Scored on the first drive, scored on the last, and then kind of everything in between, obviously not very good. Felt like everybody kind of had a part in it, just off the top of my head. I mean, everybody, myself, guys up front, guys outside. I mean, everybody had a turn. Anybody against a team like that, against a defense like that, I mean, they make you defend a lot. They give you a ton of different looks, and felt like we were was here or there, missing plays. It hurt us. Yeah, it was tough. I mean, it was a limited possession game. It kind of went that way. You knew that in the first half. I think we only touched it four times. You knew you had to make the most of your possessions. I mean, it was going to be that type of game, didn't get it done, obviously. But like I said, a bunch of different reasons. It's hard to say right now, but certainly we had our opportunities. That's for sure. a lot of different things. Like I said, the generic answer is execution. I know you guys hate that hearing that sometimes, but it's the truth. Everybody had a hand in it, stalling on third downs, putting ourselves in negative situations, penalties, missed opportunities, all that stuff played into it.
I think the mental toughness of the team. I'm not going to say they're the most talented team or that, but they're gritty men. They'll battle you. Backups come in. You saw it on the defensive line. You saw it on the linebackers. Guys in the secondary corner. I mean, these were guys that came in and played offensive line. When Zach came in, and he just saw guys buckle down and battle, man. And so that's what they did. They did that today. And we just came up shorter than we wanted to and than we normally do.
So the Chiefs lose 18-16 to the Pittsburgh Steelers, but I thought the MVP of this game and what carries me into the next season was this incredible crowd at Arrowhead Stadium. There is none like it in the National Football League. They might have been their best ever in this game.
They were special, and we look out into the parking lot, and it was talked about all week with the weather, and you knew it was going to be freezing rain, and they moved the game time. And you look out 3 hours before the game, and that parking lot was packed. People were out there. They were having a good time. They were tailgating, and they were on their feet, I want to say, the entire game. And they, every time there was a third down, they were on their feet. They were screaming. You talk about the red zone defense, what the Chiefs were able to do. I want to attribute a lot of that to what this crowd was doing. The guys fed off that, and they needed to, because they were out on the field a long time, this defense was. And you can't say enough about this Chiefs crowd. And this team will get over that hump. They're getting better every year. It stings right now, but this team has progressed every year. They just won the division. They're setting things up for the future. But this crowd's going to get one here in the next few
years. I'm going to tell you, though, the biggest asset that this team and this franchise carries into 2017 as a defending AFC West champion is the crowd. They were incredible. They 7 third down conversions, didn't matter. They came right back. They were awesome. We'll have some final thoughts on this 2016 season when we come back on this edition of Chiefs Rewind.
So there you have it. In a flash, the season ends. Dana, when you look back now with this 2016-2017 season, what are you going to remember?
What I remember is a team that's got significantly better throughout the season. We saw some young talent step to the forefront. We saw a team endure some injuries and yet still not miss a beat on the field. And we saw the elevation of young talent that we can see or foresee some great progress in the future and production in the future. So overall, it's tough to say right now that this was a great season. But I think once we are away from this, and we have time to digest it, we'll look back on this season as a very special season for the Chiefs that just ended in a bad way, unexpected way, and we're going to look forward to what's to come in 2017.
Tyreek Hill, Chris Jones, two of those wonderful rookies to watch. We'll see what they do moving forward. Grand scheme of things, though, moving forward, what do you see in this team's future?
I see progress. I don't see anything negative. This is not a team that was built for just this one moment and then going back to a rebuild. This team is built for sustainability, for the opportunities to be a force in the AFC West and in the AFC Conference. That's what I see in this team. They're solid at the receiver position. They're solid at the running back position. They are cohesive at the offensive line. They have stability at the quarterback. Defensively, they have young talent up front, young talent in the back end as well. So to me, I don't see how you can be negative about this team. You can just wait and see how things progress and what we'll get in free agency with the draft. But I think if you're not excited about what 2017 will bring, you're fooling yourself, because it's going to be a special season to come.
Last year, the Chiefs were a wild card. They win that game, go to the divisional round. This year, they win the division, do lose in the divisional round again. But you do look forward to next year, see the next step they take. It's been a fun season for BJ, Mitch, Danny, Danan, our wonderful 65 Toss Power Trap crew. I'm Pete Sweeney. This is the last Chiefs Rewind until September. So until then, good night, Kansas City.
Chiefs Rewind is brought to you by Volvo of Overland Park, home of the Red Friday Rally. Sprint, the official wireless service provider of the Kansas City Chiefs. Midwest Ford Dealers, the official car and truck of the Kansas City Chiefs. And by Dick's Sporting Goods. Get your championship gear at Dick's.com.